Hello, and thank you for joining us today here at Christ Church. We at Christ Church, we love our kids. We value them. We love investing into them, and we have missed seeing their bright and shining faces during this quarantine. Families, did you know that we started a Christ Church Kids Facebook group? It's private, it's inclusive, and it's a great way for us to stay connected while we're separated at home. We share on this page our virtue of the month. We share devotionals, and it's just an awesome way for us to stay connected. So if you haven't been able to check that out yet, or you didn't know that we had such a thing, please go to Facebook, check out our Christ Church Kids group. Guys, we want to thank you so much for your incredible generosity. We know that for some, it has not been easy to give in this time. So thank you so much. Because of your generosity, we have been able to be such a blessing to our community and the surrounding community. We have been able to feed hundreds and hundreds of kids and families each and every week, among many other things. So thank you so much. There are two ways to give. The first is our website, www.christchurchohio.org, and the second is our Christ Church Ohio app. Thank you everyone for joining us today. Enjoy.
Good morning, Christ Church. Thank you so much for joining us here in our live stream platform. We're so excited that you could join us this weekend. I'm going to say a prayer for us to get us started. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what a wonderful God that you are. I thank you for the opportunity that you give us one more time, Father, to draw nearer to you. I pray that you would use this space, use this time to encourage our hearts, strengthen us, Father. Give us the resources and tools that we need to grow in healthy ways, even in the midst of everything going on around us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was reading a couple of articles this week that talked about the unhealthy habits that many people are picking up in quarantine. Now, many of us are not at all surprised by bad habits. We've been picking up a few ourselves, right? Here's the list of the top bad habits that the article listed. The number one, they said, was panic eating comfort food. There's a reason it's called comfort food, because it feels good, and we are in panic and stress eating things that we hope will make ourselves feel better. They even went so far as to say that we're eating things from when we were younger because they feel nostalgic and remind us of easier times. The second bad habit they talked about was social media binges. Social media is a very easy distraction. We need a break from all the crazy, and so we start scrolling through social media. Thank you, iPhone. I don't need the reminder of how much my screen time has gone up since last week. I'm fully aware. But that quick check-in all of a sudden becomes hours. We fall down the rabbit hole and we watch one more video or click one more link, and the next thing we know, we've binged hours on social media. The third bad habit they said we've picked up is a total lack of structure. Many of us went from having very, very structured days. We knew where we had to be and when we had to be there, and I had to get up in the morning and get my kids fed and off to school, and then I had to get to work, and we all got home and we had dinner together, and then we had sports and Girl Scouts and meetings and places to be, and we had the most beautifully laid out calendar. It was busy. There was definitely things squished in everywhere, but then for many of us, most of those things went away. And when you aren't leaving the house, structure all of a sudden looks very, very different. The last one they listed was not exercising. Most of us got a lot of steps in just by the nature of moving around all day, or we had a gym routine laid out and we knew the schedules we'd keep. And when that went away, we stopped exercising and moving the way that we used to. We find ourselves in crisis going into survival mode. And in survival mode, we give ourselves permission to indulge. And we find ourselves eating more and drinking more and binge watching TV shows more, and we're moving less. And as we all know, those are not great combinations for our health. We aren't surprised that reports are coming in showing that alcohol sales have gone up 55% since the last week of March, and that data usage across the board has also gone up. So many of our routines have changed and our habits have changed, and many of them not so much for the better. I started this year with the very best of intentions. I had a healthy plan, how I was going to eat and how I was going to exercise and save money, organize my life and my schedule, and I had this beautifully laid out calendar. And then March hit, right? And all of that changed and blew up a little bit in my face. I worked so hard to create healthy habits and a healthy schedule, and the thing that always just strikes me the most is it takes no time at all to undo that progress. It takes forever to get healthy and lose weight and create a plan, and it takes about a minute to undo all of that. I don't know about you, but I've kind of hit my limit. I've reached all I can have about my own bad habits and not feeling great and all the excuses I've come up for why my pants are getting tighter and tighter. And I'm ready to think through, how do we change this? It doesn't have to be this way. One of the very best books that I've read about habits is a book called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And if you're looking for a good read, this is so powerful, and he's got so many great tangible ideas that you can sink your teeth into. I want to share a few with you today. He said, if you can get 1% better each day for 1 year, you'll end up 37 times better by the time that you're done. On the reverse, if you get 1% worse each day for 1 year, you'll decline nearly down to zero. So the suggestion he has for us is decide the type of person that you want to be and then prove it to yourself with small wins. So this looks something like saying, instead of like, okay, I want to lose 15 pounds or I'm going to work out every day, what I say is I'm a healthy person. And then I start asking myself questions, what does a healthy person do? Or I'm a growing person, I'm a learning person, what does someone who's growing do? And what he tells us is we become our habits. Many of the choices we make today, he said, don't benefit us immediately. He said the consequences of bad habits are delayed while the rewards are immediate. So think of it like this. His example was smoking might kill you in 10 years, but right now it reduces stress. Overeating might be harmful in the long run, but right now it feels good and appetizing in the moment. And he said, with our bad habits, the immediate outcome usually feels good, but the ultimate outcome feels bad. While good habits, the immediate outcome is unenjoyable, but the ultimate outcome feels good. This shook me up so bad, because when you think about it, he said, the cost of your good habits are in the present. The cost of your bad habits are in the future. If I want to create a healthy habit right now, I got to do the work and say no to the things. And that's hard right now. The payoff is in the long run, as opposed to the bad habits feel great right now, but the cost we feel in the long run. And what happens is, I don't know if you've ever set a goal before and you're doing really, really good, but then you miss a day, and then it's easy to miss 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. All of a sudden, we're 10 weeks in and our habits aren't what we thought they should be. James Clear says, if you miss one day, try to get back into it as quickly as possible. He said, the first mistake is never the one that ruins you. It's the spiral of repeated mistakes that follow. He said, missing once is an accident, but missing twice is the start of a new habit. Listen to how powerful this is. He said, each improvement is like adding a grain of sand to the positive side of the scale, slowly tilting things in your favor. He said, eventually, if you stick with it, you hit a tipping point. Suddenly, it feels easier to stick with good habits. He said, the secret to getting results that last is to never stop making improvements. We are people who need to make improvements again and again and again. And what I love about this is we're all capable of changing and growing. And while we can't control so many things that go on around us, every one of us has control of our choices, our habits, and how they show up in our life. So today I want to dig into this a little bit deeper because I think it's so powerful for all of us. And we're going to look at what Paul tells his friend Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 7. He says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. He says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Now, I find it so interesting that Paul starts with this idea of have nothing to do with silly myths, irreverent silly myths. Our world, and especially our social media feeds right now, are filled with irreverent, silly myths. And they're overwhelming a lot of the time. What's true and what isn't, and what's real and what somebody's just very large and obnoxious opinion. What should I focus on? What should I ignore? And it's so easy to get lost in all of these things. Paul says, don't get lost there. Don't waste your time there. Instead, let me give you something to focus on that you can do. He said, here's what's important. I want you to pay attention to it. Here's what you can do. You can give your full focus to training yourself for godliness. Now, it's interesting because some of your translations might say exercise or discipline yourself. And the Greek word here is where we get our word like gymnasium and gymnastics, and it means to exercise or discipline or train vigorously. And when we do this, what we're doing is working to develop and improve or grow a capability or a skill. Godliness, Paul's telling us that that is an exercise we can practice. We can train ourselves. We can exercise ourselves in godliness. And what's interesting about this is it's not automatic. Now, we'd never look at an Olympic athlete and be like, well, they just happened to be that good. They were born with good genes. No, we know it took an incredible amount of work and time and effort for them to grow that skill. Neither should we look at people who are growing spiritually and think, well, they just have more faith than I do, or they're more of a spiritual person than I am. We don't just happen into godliness. We don't just automatically stumble our way upon it. Instead, we practice it. We train ourselves in it. We create exercises that help us grow in these ways. Now, godliness is really just aiming at the divine. It's turning toward God and aiming to be more like the person he says we can be and more like who Christ says we can be. Godliness is shifting our focus from self-centeredness to centering our focus and attention on God. Look, being self-centered, it just comes easy. We don't have to do anything to do that. We wake up thinking about ourselves. We go to bed thinking about ourselves. It comes naturally. We do have to work at shifting our focus to God and to others. Augustine said, to have a well-ordered heart is to love the right thing to the right degree in the right way with the right kind of love. Now, I love this idea so much. I think it's so powerful. But at the same time, I'm thinking, I know myself pretty well, and I can't do that on my own. Definitely not consistently. I might have a good day or a good hour, but on my own, that doesn't happen regularly. With any measure of success, I can't do that without the help of Jesus Christ. Because of Christ's love and Christ's sacrifice and Christ's life, all of us have access to do more than we could do on our own. Christ is at work exchanging what's worst in me with what is best in him. Remember, we can trust Christ to help us become better people. So what happens is knowing Christ puts me in the arena. It sets me in the playing field. And that's where I start to realize, you know, my habits aren't great. I want to do better. I want to grow. I want to exercise spiritually so I can be this girl. You can be the girl. You can be the man that God says we have the potential to become. An athlete trains their body so they can excel at the sport they've chosen. They exercise in a way that strengthens them to do what they want to do well. A musician studies music and trains over and over again and practices so they can excel at their craft. And friends, in the same way, you and I, we can create healthy spiritual practices. Our spiritual exercises, these are the things we do that draw us nearer to God and more into the people that he created us to be. Now, the goal of creating a healthy spiritual life is to carve out moments in our life every single day where we turn aside and shift our attention to God and spend time in his presence. Because here's why. Time in the presence of Jesus Christ is where our souls grow. It's where our character and our values are developed, and it's where our well-being is nurtured. If you ever want to do just like a quick test to see like, where am I? How healthy am I spiritually? I'll give you a really good example. What comes out of us really shows how healthy or unhealthy we are spiritually. When I'm just grouchy and angry all of the time, those are the things coming out of me, I know something is off. When weariness and exhaustion are the only thing I have to set on the table, those are signs maybe I'm not in a good place. When we find ourselves feeling self-righteous, I'm right and everybody else is wrong and they're the problem, that's probably a flag that should wave in our head and say, this is not a healthy place to be. But the opposite is also true. The more time we spend with Christ, the more we're able to see him coming out of us. We see things like graciousness and kindness, and we're reminded of the power of compassion and forgiveness. The more time we spend with Christ, what comes out of us is healthy. We find ourselves expressing humility instead of pride, and joy shows up instead of despair. In the presence of Christ, I find joy and not frustration. In the same way that we need to focus on the right activity for our physical self to stay strong and healthy, we need to focus on the right activity for our spiritual self to grow as well. There are so many wonderful books about how to grow and think our way through this. In the notes section of our app, I'm going to have a couple of resources for you to look into if you'd like to read a book to kind of dig in a little bit deeper. But today, I just want to make this real tangible and give us one idea to start practicing together this week that I think will be super helpful. And when we get this down, it'll help open up the space for so many other things. So here's what I want us to think about. I want us to start practicing quiet time. Quiet time is a place where we go and it's quiet. We've turned everything off. The phones are turned off and the news is turned off and there's no social media and there's no beautiful people that we love. It's just a quiet space where we are alone. And we carve out this space every single day where you can find it. Now, I know for some of you, this is easier. It's no problem. For others, it seems nearly impossible because there are so many people and they're there all of the time. But I promise, we'll dig into this more, but if we look for it, we'll find it. We can find space in the day somewhere to just carve out quiet time. Here's why. With this quiet time, we can focus our mind and our hearts on healthy things. There's a lot of junk and noise in our life, and it's persistent, and it's loud, and it's urgent. And every once in a while, regularly, we need to be able to just quiet and rest our minds. My mind runs at about 200 miles per hour, and sometimes it's actually working faster than my mouth can keep up with it. I'm sure many of you heard me. I stutter over my words, or they don't come out right because I'm just already jumping along. My mind needs rest because on its own, it won't do that. It just wants to go and go and go. But my mind needs rest. Our hearts need rest. We need to find space to rest in Christ, that we can take a minute off from problem solving. God's got this, that we don't have to do everything all the time, every second. We can stop and pause and quiet our hearts before God. With this quiet time, we can use it to pray. We can find the space to talk to God about what's going on and where we see him and where we need him and where we're struggling. We can ask for help. I heard about this beautiful church this week, and they are every single week as an entire church, they fast for a day and just pray that God will solve this problem that our world is facing right now. There's so much power that happens when we come together and pray and we just say, God, we need your help. God, we need you to hear our cries, because he promises he hears us when we cry out to him. I need God's help. Friends, you need God's help. Our families, our world, we all need God's help. And in this quiet time, we can go to places that we can just seek God and look for his help. We can also use this quiet time to listen. I know this is a skill. It's a learned skill, but it's a necessary skill. I mean, what does God want me to pause and think about? What does God want to show me? Where is God directing my heart? In the quiet listening time, I find those paths to follow. This quiet time frees up space for us to read our Bible. The most comfort I find in the Word of God. There are verses that have reached right into where I am and show me hope. They've given me courage and peace. And what happens is I get to take all the clutter that's in my mind and my heart and take it to God, and all the confusion and the frustrations and the annoyances. And he meets me in powerful ways that remind me how much bigger he is, how capable he is, how strong and wonderful and good he is. And in these spaces, I find peace I can't find any other way. Friends, we all need time in our life where we can turn aside from everything else and just put our attention on God. And we need it every day, because here's the truth. Our world is messy and it's loud and it's broken, and we all need help. Every day there's a new struggle, there's a new problem, there's a new frustration, there's a new I lost my patience moment. There's a need to be encouraged and reminded that God is good. And every day I need all the help God can give me to be the girl that God says I can be. We can create healthy spiritual practices for ourselves. But here's the other thing I really want us to see. We can also create healthy life practices in this process. We become the things that we do. Our habits become us. And what I love that James Clear reminded us in Atomic Habits is our habits are based on frequency, not time. It's not how long do I have to do this. It's how many does it take to form a new habit. To build new habits, we practice them. To give us a structure to really do this well, I want to remind us of something I learned last year from Rachel Hollis. I love it. It's been hugely helpful in my life. She calls this idea five to thrive, and it's five things we do every single day to build healthy practices into our life. It creates a structure that we can practice to filter in the healthy exercises, the spiritual things that we want to grow in into our day. Here's the five things she gives us. Number one, get up an hour earlier than you normally do and use the time for yourself. We can find quiet time by getting up earlier than everybody else. Not my strength, but I promise when I do this, when I get this time in, I'm better for my kids, for my husband, for the work that I'm doing always because I've had this quiet time first. Her second suggestion is move your body for 30 minutes every day. Three, drink half of your body weight in ounces of water every day. Four, give up one food category you know you shouldn't be eating. And five, write down five things you're grateful for every single day. Now, here's why I love these five things. Doing them creates space for me to not only make healthy choices, but space and time to practice healthy spiritual practices as well. I've been working so hard to create healthy choices every single day, and these tools help me. And sometimes I stack them together. So what I'll do is I've been downloading audiobooks, and I'll walk mostly around my house in a circle because that's what I can do. But for 30 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes on a crazy day, I listen to books that help me think about big ideas and grow and be a better person and a better leader while I walk. Writing down what I'm grateful for every day helps me focus my mind on the positive things that exist right in the middle of all the hard and frustrating things. What happens is these tools create a structure that I can build into my life every single day to create healthy life habits, and I can control them. I can choose them even when things around me seem so crazy. And it matters. Every single day, it matters. If you're thinking right now, like, why does it matter? Or why should I bother? None of it's worth it. Can I please remind you just one more thing that Paul said? He said it in verse 10. To this end, we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the savior of all people, especially of those who believe. We toil and we strive because our hope is on the living God. We do not quit when things get hard, but we work and we practice and we endure and we dig in and keep on trying because our hope for the future all rests in what our mighty God can do. Even when things around us seem chaotic and messy, our hope isn't in what the world can do. Our hope isn't in what I can do. Our hope is in the very one who eternally has held things together. Our hope is in the one who not only created us, but he created this wonderful dynamic world that we live in. Our hope is in the one who has historically pursued us and helped us. Our hope is in the one who promises to help when we call, that he will not leave us or abandon us when we need him the most. Friends, the more we know God, the more we have hope for tomorrow. Because God's not done yet. God has work to do and more that he wants to accomplish. We do this work. We create healthy habits. We work. We endure. We practice. We exercise. We train ourselves because the living God is on our side. He's cheerleading us every step of the way, championing us, encouraging us, giving us that very strength and courage we need to move forward and keep on pushing through. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, and he has never let us down. And friends, he won't start now. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that this reminder would give us exactly what we need to make one more push forward. I pray, Father, that we would examine our lives and create healthy new habits, healthy new practices, that every single day we can practice spiritual health, that we can practice living a healthy life, Father, that we can grow and strive to be the men and women you've created us to be. Father, I pray that you would fill us with hope, that we would not forget, not for one second, that the living God, our hope is in him and he is on our side. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. Families with kiddos, be sure to check out our Christ Church Kids Facebook group. Take care.